Good evening, everybody. If you're just tuning in, you're listening live to the Angel Rock. I'm your host, Laura Leigh Potvin. Just as a little reminder, feel free to join us over on United Public Radio Network's YouTube channel. You can watch the show with my guest and I. A little bit about my show and myself. If you're just new to the Angel Rock, welcome. And if you're returning follower of the show, so glad to have you here. I do keep an eye on the comments, so I can try and make whoever's here live right now part of the show. I'm in Canada, so is my guest as well. He actually lives with me. I'm a psychic medium. I'm also a crystal Reiki energy healer, Akashic Records practitioner, spiritual teacher and mentor, as well as a nurse. Sorry, my brain's not working. I'm in camp mode still. We just got in from camp. And like I said, we're up here in Canada. I want to give a huge shout out to Joe Montaldo, who owns the station. He also produces all of us and makes our jobs look so much easier. So it's a long weekend here in Canada. So I give a shout out to all my fellow Canadians out there. It's called the Civic Weekend or Civic Holiday. I think Canadians decided because summers are so short up here, we have to have a long weekend every month of the summer, July, August, and September. So who I have tonight is my mouth is not working. Sorry, guys. Been giving up his hour show that's usually before mine because we have a host chat. We always have really interesting discussions with a lot of the hosts. It's the Dell, and he's from The Delicious Recipe. So he's going to join me tonight. So welcome, Dell.
Thank you very much for having me. Hour number four now.
You are. Yeah, I got to do all the unpacking from camp. So he was good. I joined in a little over an hour after we started. So I can't see you on camera, though. I don't know if your camera's working or not, but
yeah, I think I'm on here. Let's see.
Are you on?
I believe so.
Oh, you probably are. You're just coming up as a letter, but I'm just heading over to YouTube. It's always a few seconds behind, and I'll tell you if I can see you or not. So I didn't book a guest tonight because it was the long weekend, and we went out to Dell's family's, we call it camp up here in Canada, but some people call it a cottage, and it's my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, your brother and sister-in-law and their kids. We had quite a great time out at camp, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, we got all the watercraft out there, and then my brother's a friend and a friend of my family, and he was, I could basically call him like a brother because he used to live with us, and I worked for his dad there prospecting in the bush. Mm-hmm. And that's why the whole topic there came about. That's what about paranormal stuff in the forest, in the bush and stuff like that came up. And brought out the Sea-Doo, and then they bought some more toys to play around with, and 2.5 hours blowing up a big, huge pink flamingo.
Gosh, it's huge.
Floating island.
Well, it's about 1,000 pounds, she said, or just under 1,000 pounds.
Yeah.
That's quite the monstrosity when you see it, and it's this pink color, and it's got gold, big pieces of glitter through the see-through wings. It's got a cooler spot in the middle. You can put your beverages in there to stay cold. It's quite a lot of fun.
And it's got handholds to go up to the side to get off the climbing platform. And then I put a little rope ladder for my niece and nephew so they can pull themselves up there. Big huge monstrosity out there in the lake.
Well, it's a beautiful lake, especially in the mornings when the sun comes up and the water's just like glass, and there's at least one pair of loons. They mate for life, don't they?
I believe they do. Yeah, they're almost like geese. I think do that too.
I don't see you on camera, so I don't know if your camera's working or not.
I'm on camera here. I'm not sure.
Okay, well, we've got Shadow Designs here in the chat. So welcome, Shadow Designs. Happy Civic Holiday. She's from Canada as well. So I know she's probably celebrating the long weekend as with the rest of us from Canada. And so we didn't know if we were going to be back in time for the show. We wanted to be, and we came back. And so I decided tonight, I asked the Dell. He was kind enough to say we live together. He was kind enough to join me tonight. So it's kind of a You want potpourri. We thought we're going to talk about what's going on in the world. I might do a few one question free readings if anybody's interested. But you know what? You got me thinking, Del, when you just said this. And I know we talk about a lot of interesting topics, but I also know you've worked in the bush a lot. What were you seeing anything at all unusual that you might consider to be a paranormal at all through all the years that you were out there?
Well, one thing that I've sort of noticed, because I've been through the bush all through northern Ontario, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, mm-hmm. and just really weird sounds that would actually sort of scare you out there a little bit. And if anybody wants to look up a thing there, look up bobcats talking, and you will hear noises coming out of bobcats that would actually think that there was like some sort of really weird, witchy, crazy creature in the bush, and because they make the weirdest sounds, period, when they're wah, 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 like something like yeah. that, eh? And it's surprising what animals that a lot of people aren't aware of, because they live in cities and mm-hmm. don't go out into the forest, or don't do camping anyways, and then you hear what an actual moose sounds like, or a deer. Oh, yeah. Or a fox, and even down in the States there, what a coyote sounds like, but like a bobcat or a cat and stuff like that. They're not like, they don't make sounds like your house cat, like meow, meow, meow. They make these really weird sounds, and it can actually freak you out, and you think that there's some sort of crazy creature out there.
Well, you know what got me thinking last night? You went over, Del's really lucky because two of his best friends, their families have cottages or camps, we call them, again, out on the same lake. There's an east and west side. And so I was going to hop over there after our youngest, Del's stepson. He's my son I've talked about with, he has autism. And he was out there with us. So I was waiting to tuck him in, and I'm sitting outside. And it's super quiet, and I'm doing some crossword puzzles. And then all of a sudden, I got this crazy thought. I'm not paying attention, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what if some animal came up behind me and got me? Or there's a reason why I'll explain that, but then I'll explain also why it made me think of this about what happened with you years before. But I was sitting there, and even in our backyard, this was last week. I like to do a lot of crafts, and I made this fireplace that looks like it's sort of floating midair, and it's all glass encased, and it's got cotton wicks. It's actually, the fuel is olive oil, so there's no smoke. You can burn the inside or out. It's completely safe. Even if there was a burning ban, you wouldn't get any fire. So I had that outside, and I had two citronella buckets going to keep the bugs away. It was about 2 a.m, and I never turned the light off. And I'm sitting there playing on my phone, and all of a sudden I feel something lick my toe on my left foot. And at first I'm thinking, oh, is this ever sweet? It's Emmy or Ember, our puppy. And then I went, wait, Ember's inside. And I looked down below. This super huge plume of a white and black tail is sitting there. It was a skunk that licked my foot. He had no smell. I didn't hear him. I don't even know how I did it. I jumped from the chair. We had a greenhouse in the back. I have a greenhouse in the backyard, made it over there. He still didn't spray. He just scurried under our neighbor's deck. So while I was sitting outside last night at the camp, that came to mind. But also, I think you were the only one that was out at camp. I wasn't with you at this time, Del. Remember when the whole camp shook? Do you remember? Like, you didn't know if a guy...
Yeah, that was with my mom. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a rock fell down the hill and hit the camp, and it was just crazy. And I thought like Bigfoot had grabbed the side of the building and shook it there.
Yes.
And my mom has one of those CVAP machines, or what are those machines called there for sleep apnea? So she didn't hear all that, but it shook everything, shook the whole camp. The whole thing just went crazy, and was like, holy jumping, went out. And I thought it was like some sort of weird creature out there. But that's the thing, though, is I think a lot of people, they don't get away from the city, right? There's been this big, huge thing about forcing people to go to the city because that's where the job is and stuff like that. But people don't get away to relax and go back out to nature. And so a lot of people are missing things, like with my buddy there, that we were at there today, Like his daughters, I think they're 16 and 14, I believe, and they're really good at technology, but not good at growing things and nature and how to prepare things, how to make things, right? It's just because it's just order on your phone or whatever, and somebody just delivers it to you, but they don't know how to. Well, even with my niece and nephew, though, they don't, they're starting to learn. I'm trying to get them to learn, but they don't know how to do anything. And that's a big question that's always been that I've mentioned on your show before. Yeah. Is about the new generation. You want to call them Generation Z or millennials and all that stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They're not self-sufficient. And you know what we found when we got home of what your son had left?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And well, it was a mess.
That's being kind. Yes, he's my son that lives out of town, my oldest one. He stayed here with his significant other, and I expected a bit of a mess because he's never been neat, but it was quite like a tornado had gone through. But your point that you're making, and I think this is important, I'm even seeing it though with people within our age group though too, Del, is people haven't learned like things that were skills of old, if you want to call it that. Like I can anything food wise. I know how to make bread by hand. And ever since you and I have been together, my first husband wasn't really handy either, nor did he really look at things like prepping. And we're not crazy, absolute fanatics at it. But the thing we look at is, you know what, pick up some extra dry goods or anything canned foods. You know what, you've got them here. Because, you know, for all people don't realize that even if we had something like an EMP strike or a solar flare, it can knock out all the power. It can knock out all the internet, everything like that. What would you do? Because yeah. I remember I was mentoring this younger, I'll call him a kid. He was probably about 20 years old at the time. And he lived in Florida. And I was talking about prepping with a group and he was around, I think we were in a chat or something. And I said, well, if the power ever went out and the internet, I said, your biggest things that you can barter with, your currency, if you will, would be water. And he laughed at me. He thought it was ridiculous, the kind of laugh people give him when they call you a tinfoil hat wearing person when it comes to so-called conspiracy. I kind of like to think of it more as truth seeking. And so I said to him, I said, okay. I said, you live in Florida. I said, do you have any lakes around you or fresh water? He goes, no. And I said, you're basically surrounded by salt water, aren't you? He said, yes. So I said, if the power went out, I said, you realize that most services here, whether it's a water treatment plant or it's anything like that, it runs on electricity. So I said, where would you get your drinking water? And all of a sudden it dawned on him. His jaw dropped after laughing at me and saying, oh my gosh, you're right. And it's true. And like I said, we're not crazy preppers or anything like that. It's just, and I tell a lot of my friends in the US this, your president, President Trump, and I forget what page it's on. I have it saved, but it's a page that he updated 2 years ago, and it was right around the time he does his presidential address to the nation. I believe it's either sometime in January, early February, and it has to do information with FEMA. But it used to say it would recommend that every citizen of the U.S. have 2 weeks worth of medication, food, water, any necessities you'd need. He updated that to 6 months worth. And most people that I've talked to, and don't get me wrong, I don't talk to everybody in the US, obviously, but I talked to quite a few different people from different backgrounds, and most people weren't even aware that this had been updated. So what does he know that the rest of us don't know, that you've changed it from 2 weeks worth to 6 months worth, right?
Yep, that's true. And I think there's like, I said this before, like when the Boy Scouts motto was do your best, do our best, be prepared. Mm-hmm. And I think the whole thing about being prepared is good. Like what's happened, I've noticed since I've been born, is mm-hmm. that it's just gone over since the last 50 years, is that people are living more paycheck to paycheck, but nobody's putting away like a squirrel.
Well, not by choice. Not by choice. A lot of people with what's happening, it's the way the economy is and everything, wouldn't you?
That's true. Yeah, that's very true. But the thing is, was that you should always have like a bag of safety supplies, like a camping bag of stuff that you can go someplace or whatever. But it's just enough stuff that, hey, give you a couple extra days. And I know a lot of people can't afford that now because of what this COVID-19 disease did, and people have lost a lot of jobs or businesses haven't gone there. And you're finding out that the cupboards are getting a lot more bare. And see, I went through SARS in Toronto, and then also went through the ice storm where the power was out. And I was also through the part where the power went out in the summertime too, as well. And everything in the freezer had to be thrown out in that. And you start thinking about, well, what is more important that I have that I need, right? You couldn't get gas at the gas stations, power was out, right? So you can't drive anywhere, right? So people become a lot more technologically and mechanically dependent on what is there because they figure it's never going to go out. And when it goes out for a little bit, like there was the big, huge Montreal ice storm that went out. There was a blackout that happened through Southern Ontario into the States that went out. And then the States blamed it on Canada, but it was actually a place in Buffalo that actually blew the grid. And lots of things like that. When you don't have things that are available for you that you depend on daily, and you don't have, if you just had a chainsaw with gas, but you didn't have a handsaw, the handsaw would still get you through. It takes a little bit more work, but that would work a lot better than the chainsaw that doesn't have any gas that you can't use. And that was a lot of stuff that I've been doing, going through it for the last 2 months at camp, just making sure that there was other available tools that could get the job done that, if something went out or whatever, that you'd have it there. And then even having water storage, because we did this before last year, we figured that the water was going to be all taken out. So just filled up jugs and extra things of water. Because the law of threes, right? 3 minutes without air, 3 days without water, 3 weeks without food. If you remember the law of threes, and you see what's in there, then you understand that maybe it's okay to, or better to have a little bit of stuff there saved up, because you never know what's going to happen, because it's a roll of the dice. Like, power went off right now, and this show didn't even go on or anything like that, and you had no communication. Like, how many people remember phone numbers?
Nobody, or never mind the fact we've actually proved this too, is how many people out there can say they know how to start a fire without matches and without a lighter? How many people could do that? And it doesn't matter where you live, because again, if the power went out, how are you going to cook food? How are you going to make food? You could eat cold canned food. Yes, you could. But say you bought, you know, dry goods like rice and beans and stuff like that, you're still going to have to cook it. So, for example, you know, I was listening to a broadcast, and I believe it was in Venezuela or somewhere in South America, but I believe it was Venezuela, where basically the power was out because of storms for 3 months. And a guy that lived through it, this person was interviewing them, and he asked them, what were the most important things? He said, if you had water, if you had matches, even better, a lighter, toilet paper, even alcohol, or even ammo will work. But, you know, there's a lot of people that will, that depend on drinking. They do, or things like that, medications. But he said lighters especially, because think about, that's like liquid gold to someone that you don't have any matches, and it's hard to start a fire with a bow drill. You've done it before, right, Del? It's not easy.
Oh yeah, for sure. And that's the thing, is that that's why I always find it really funny, is that a lot of other talk shows and stuff that's on YouTube and stuff like that, they all say is that, hey, well, the dollar is going to fail, buy silver and gold. And you go, well, what's that going to buy you when there's nobody needs any part for money there, right? Water is more important than silver and gold are. Like at the beginning part, it might be somebody like, hey, well, yeah, I'll sell you all this stuff for your silver and gold. But and then there's talk about the dollar failing and the world market and stuff like that. So there's lots of different things going on. But water is more important than silver and gold. And a lot of people don't understand that because they're materialistic.
Well, I guess, you know, yeah, you and I've had this conversation off air, and I agree with you. In the beginning, yes, silver and gold may be something that you may be able to use to barter. But when people, and it's scary, and you think people kind of would have caught on with COVID-19, depending on where you live. Even for ourselves, like my son that was just here, we were just opened the show talking about, he moved to a smaller community with about 8,000 people. And they're right on a border city, which means they could just drive into International Falls. It was 2 seconds, but the borders are closed, right? Yeah. All they have is a Walmart, and they had Safeways for a grocery store. And all the shelves were bare. They didn't know when the food was coming in, when anything was. My son actually asked if we might be able to send some by Purolator, his father and I. And I said, well, we can. And I said to him, sort of think, like, who is there that could maybe have something to share with you that you could either replace when the food comes in, or maybe you've got something they need. And they realized that his significant other's father was there and lived on a farm. So that held them over. But even where we live, it's between 100 and 108,000 people, depending on the time of the year, usually. There were a lot of things that were not on the shelves. And you guys got to think about this, too, because somebody started that rumor that toilet paper was needed. We all saw what happened with toilet paper. It wasn't necessary. There was no antibacterial spray, hand sanitizer, anything like that. And those aren't necessities of life. So it's not to be fear-mongering here. It's just that it's these skills that we seem to be losing. Even with kids, I'm finding it. I've never understood this. Apparently, cursive writing is not taught in school anymore. So you're raising children that don't know how to even sign their name. They could print it. Or they're so used to an electronic signature, right? But you can't just assume that, because if the power goes out, what do you do? You're not going to be able to, or a ham radio operator's license. This is a time to look at these things. It's never going to serve you wrong, I keep saying to people. Or say you buy a big bag of rice and you buy a big bag of beans or canned goods, especially if it's food you're going to eat, eventually you'll use it. So it's not something that will serve you wrong, or water even. You know what? You can buy a lot of those water jugs, just have them put away. You're not going to be able to carry them anywhere because they're heavy. Or start learning how to light a fire without matches. Because actually, Shadow Design said in the chat, and I want to give a huge shout out to Zach Mann. He always supports us too, as well as Shadow Design. So thanks for being here. Shadow Design said, I've got my, I want to walk back here or go back a bit. She was talking about skunks. She said, they're so sweet. Unless you get in the way of them digging in the garbage, then look out.
Yeah. Or eating your garden.
Or eating your garden. Yeah. Then she said, we used to make bannock in the backyard over a little fire pit. Living in Manitoba in Canada was an experience she'd never forget. And like I said, Zach Mann said hi. Then she said, I've got my tent and a minus 40 degree sleeping bag, which you need up here in Canada in the winter. She said, plus I have a foil survival blanket. Yeah, we do too. And slowly working on collecting the rest of her gear. She said, lots of tools. She's got a 2000, is that 2000? I don't know if she meant that. It says 2000 pound car. Oh, maybe to lift up 2000 pounds car. And she said, I have camera gear. She said she uses the lens to start fires. And Zach said himself, if lighters were the equivalent of gold, I'd be a rich man. And it's true, because that's the thing you got to look at. That's why I mentioned this guy from Venezuela, because they learned what was important to people being without, power for so long. Never mind, there was a lot of destruction from their storm that they went through. And think about it, folks, like we've seen what riots do. We've seen, so say that happened, you're going to get people looting, taking everything out of the store anyway. So why not just collect it now? That's what I keep thinking. Learn, one of the most important things is, because people are so, you depend on your internet to look up whatever you need. But I ended up buying, I had a big copy of it. It's a survival prepping handbook. It tells you how to do a lot of things, even medicines that you could use naturally if you didn't have it. That's still too heavy to carry though. So I ended up finding a small little copy that we could tuck into a bug out bag, as some people call that when they're prepping. But people don't realize that. So if you've got information that you know you might need, I would print it out personally and have it on.
That's what I told you there before, is that because electricity, if it does go down or for a part there, that's the whole thing about, don't depend on your technology. Mm-hmm. Print things out, put it in a binder. I don't know if you can see me on camera there at all, but a multi-tool, super simple, easy. It's got like a knife, a screwdriver, a little mini saw, just even something like that, really small. Throw that in your bag. Just things, and just print out stuff on paper now and just save it, because I think we were talking about this 2 days ago when we were on the bonfire there, about how that everybody's just dependent on their iPads or their iPhones or their computer to get information and go off the World Wide Web. But if power does go out for a period of time, right, and you need to find out how to fix the motor, change it like Willie with the tire, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And like, guys never changed a tire ever.
Yeah,
and it's like, how do you do this, right? And it's like, holy jumping. You're 50 years old and what, you've never changed a tire? Like, certain, that these are skills that people have just let go because they just call up, says, I'll just call the company. They'll come over here and do it for me.
Yeah.
Because I told you that story about that one when I was in Toronto there, and three girls in a BMW, and they walk by and says, hey, can you fill the gas up? We don't know where the gas is on this. And you're driving? Mm-hmm. And I go, you don't know where the gas tank is? Mm-hmm. And it was like that was just unbelievable. And that's where I saw this whole pattern sort of just go down and down, where people aren't they're just dependent on thinking everything's going to be what you have right now. But then, like I said, I went through three different catastrophes that went through where power was out for days and people had no idea what to do. One was in the winter, one was in the heat of the summer, right? Mm-hmm. You can't cool down and you're sweating to death, and one was you're freezing to death. Mm-hmm. And then we also had there too at their old house there where the furnace went out.
Yep, minus 50 below. It was, and that's why I said, I said, even people in our age group, I found like most of them haven't, and these are skills that our grandparents, for example, that would have been an everyday thing, you know, stretching even small ingredients to make how many people we talked to didn't even think about picking up seeds when it was at the beginning of this COVID virus, that, because I know where we live and we're not up in the Arctic. We're about 6 hours north of Minneapolis, Minnesota, in Canada, in Ontario. But the thing is, our vegetables all come from usually down south in the U.S., a little bit from out west in British Columbia. So, you know, everybody was affected by this. So what's going to happen? We didn't know if there was going to be fresh vegetables or food in that way, or fruit. So we started growing stuff, and then as it goes on, I'll probably pick up stuff and start canning it, because canned stuff, if it's done properly, it'll last for years. Or even the fact about how to make bread. A lot of people don't even know how to do that, or anything, hunting, fishing, how to clean a fish. Would you agree with me about that, Del? A lot of people don't even know how to do that.
That's true, yeah. Yeah. Even my mom, mm-hmm. she knows how to fish, but she doesn't know how to catch fish. But that's that whole adage, right? It says, give a person a fish or teach them how to fish.
Yeah.
And what is better, right? Then they can do it self-sufficiently on their own. And well, it goes to the whole thing there with building stuff, creating stuff, fixing things. And a lot of that information, this newer generation I've seen over the past 50 years is sort of just let it go, right? More people who just phone Uber Eats and get a meal, but they don't know how, like, a bean grows in the backyard or a tomato and stuff like that, right? Or they don't grow it at all. And a lot of people live in apartments because they've, this is the whole push of society is to move to metropolis or metropolitan areas. So they don't have the area, but you do have places where you can grow things inside, but nobody's thinking that way, right? Because it's sort of this rush society, go. And when they get to the cities, but as you see, what happens at camp, everything slows down and you just relax, right? And you just enjoy and you deal with stuff that as it is. And look at everything that's been out there. Like I've been working out at camp there for the last 2 months, fixing it all up just for my brother to come in there. And then it's just a nice area. And there's tools out there that you don't have that don't need power. And it's perfect, like stuff that go fall up. So if society actually got some sort of attack that a EMP went through or the power system went off and stuff like that, we could go live out there for a while. Yeah.
Well, I was going to add, we've got Instant Karma in the chat. Welcome. Good to see you here. We're going to read your comments. But I was going to add something to that. But like I said, a lot of people think you're a tinfoil wearing hat person when you do a bit of prepping. Like I said, we're not fanatics.
Nope.
But, you know, and we're not like fear mongers either, that we're worrying, you know, every news story we hear, we believe or anything like that. It's just, we've just sort of been like minded with the fact that, is it going to hurt anything to have it on hand in case you need it? And so Zach Mann said, they didn't know how to fill up a gas tank. Wow. That was about those three girls you mentioned. And then Instant Karma said, meh, I jumped off an employee's car at the dollar store and fixed their sparking, rigged up a negative terminal. If it doesn't spark anymore, or their vehicle, I guess, doesn't spark anymore, they said. And Shadow Design says, I've got a nice box of seeds in my freezer. And then she also added, building things is one thing. With no electricity, how many people know how to use manual tools? That's what you were just saying, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I replied to that one there. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, that's just the thing, though, is that these are a lot of things is that if you look back and we had this conversation, I think it was with Marty there today when we were over looking at his camp. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't know how to build or do things unless they have electricity. They don't know how to do it. They just don't have the skills. And a lot of projects that have or school programs that have been there, like they removed the arts, right? Dealing with arts and like music and also home ec and shop. Those have been taken out of the system. And it's all mostly focused on Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. Right, English 5 compulsory credits up here in Canada that you have to do Shakespeare for 3 years or 4 years, but home ec and shop are gone. Mm-hmm. Right, it's a really surprising thing there, and I think those are really important things. I did home ec there back in grade school and didn't do it in high school, but it was really important. How many people know how to sew?
You just read my mind. And I was going to add, we've had this conversation many times off air. There's a lot of people that seem, at least where we're from or we've talked to from other parts of the world, that really seem to look down on trades. And I'm telling you, I think that's one of the most important things that you could have. We've both talked about this because it'll never serve you wrong. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. As skilled trades, we're always looked at. I remember, because I think we were talking about this too, is that people said, okay, well, you're not in business, you're not doing finance and stuff like that. Oh, you're a welder. You're an iron worker. You build a house. You're a bum. Stuff like that. But no, it's actually not true, because those are actually things that help you progress. Banking and finance and all that stuff there, that's all just financial wizardry that is there if you want to go and buy more material things. But a lot of those people there don't know how to do anything, right? They figure that they can spend the dollar. But You're going to see there probably in the next 20, 30 years that the dollar is going to be worth a little bit less. And gold and silver are not the way to be. It's going to be, like I said, water trades, barter
So,
system,
yeah,
right?
that you have, like I said, and it was interesting what this guy that was in that Venezuela storm, the aftermath, when he said, believe it or not, I could see lighters. Lighters would be like liquid gold. You could probably trade that for a lot because, I mean, that's a multiple use tool that saves you from trying, like, again, using a bow drill or some other way to try and light a fire. But also, he said things like coffee, cigarettes. I mean, when you're a smoker, I mean, what are you going to do if you can't get cigarettes, right? It's not the funnest thing to quit cold turkey. Can it be done? Yes. Alcohol, he said, toilet paper. I was trying to think of the other thing that he said because we keep hearing certain people say, well, get rid of all your money, get gold and silver. Yes, in the beginning, I agree with you that, yeah, it'll help you if there's no fiat currency, if you will, or silver or paper money. But eventually, like, you're not going to be going to a store to use it. And yeah, what are you going to trade somebody for some gold or silver? But when you need water and they need something you have, you might as well. It's nothing. It's basically a rock, I think, because it's not the same system as what we have right now going into a store and paying money for it. Because if it goes on for any amount of time, right?
Yeah, well, I did a show on that about what gold, why is gold important, right? And what's the whole meaning with that? It's a rock. It doesn't, you can't eat it, right? You go back to the law of threes, right? Air, water, food. So those are the three most important things in there. And so you could give somebody $1 million for a gallon of water, right? But then what's the guy going to do with $1 million? He has no more water.
Wipe his butt with no, because he has no toilet paper. Right?
Well, that's the thing though, is that simplicity that I was sort of really find it amazing is not amazing or interesting, I should say, not amazing, interesting is that remember we used to watch that series Naked and Afraid, where people are put out there for 21 days with two objects, right? Be a knife or and the other person bring like a fire starter, something like that. And those are two really important objects that you would need to survive. So you got to look at the thing as those, what would you need to survive and do that, right? Well, the knife can make other things. The shelter can help you
Hunting.
dig, planting, digging,
Hunting.
hunting and stuff like that. And you need fire for to cook, right? And then also with
Even
that
the water,
fire.
remember? Like there were people on there that didn't let their water boil long enough because they were so thirsty by the time they got the fire started. Even because some people didn't even bring the flint and steel, they chose not to bring it, and they would end up with all kinds of parasites and stuff. They'd have to be pulled out. So,
So
yeah, where are you going to get fresh water?
a piece of sharp object, knife or whatever it is, can create a lot of different things and can make you create a lot of different things that you can use for later on. Build you shelter, build other tools, and fire, disinfectant, and heat, warmth,
And cook
and
bugs
cooking.
to
And
away.
so those two objects alone, a fire starter and a knife or an axe or something like that, very, very valuable that than anything else. Protection as well, right? So, but a lot of people, like I said, a lot of people there today that live in these metropolis cities and stuff like that have never been out and had to be without as of yet, except for these couple little anomalies we had. Like, what happens if we have a solar flare and it knocks out the grid across the board, right? What are you going to do? You're going to start robbing your neighbor?
Well, they say the saying goes, you're not, all of us are 9 meals away from anarchy, going without 9 meals, especially if you've got little kids and they're starving. You're going to do whatever you can as a parent to feed your kids. I do want to read these comments, and then I know you have an interest. If I forget, remind me when I'm done reading, Del. But you had a really interesting, well, information you had gotten on why they're trying to get us to move into the cities. But I'll just read these comments. Hang on. where are we here? Oh, in Instant Karma said, or sorry, Shadow Design says, building things is one thing. Oh, she did. I did say this, but I'll repeat it. No electricity. How many people know how to use manual tools? Instant Karma said, a big auger bit is almost as fast in a hand drill as in an electric auger. And Shadow Design said, I'd rather build a house than trade stocks. Agreed. Zachman said, I saw a leftist friend post on their page that people shouldn't encourage minority students to go into the trades if they wouldn't tell that to a rich white student. He said he called her out on her post. Agreed. It doesn't matter what color your skin is or where you come from. It can never serve you wrong. I really believe that if you are able to either work in a trade or have the knowledge that you will learn to work in a trade. Shadow Design said, I used to build ponds and my water was so clean you could drink it. My filters were top-notch, homemade. Good. Might want to share that thought. Then Zachman said, I know people who went to trade school to become plumbers, electricians, etc., and they make more money than I do with a four-year college degree. Absolutely, Zach.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I was making with the iron workers. I think I was making over $47 an hour just up here. Yeah. And that was way more than somebody that went to school for 5 years and then has to pay off a student loan for 10, yeah. 20, 30, 40 years, or if they ever do, and work at a two-bit job or whatever, right? For like $22,000 a year starting out as a beginner and stuff like that. Yeah, it's funny is that. That was a thing that I always found it was really interesting is that, oh, well, if you go into management, go into that stuff, well, management doesn't teach you anything. And usually when you finish college or university, except for some certain things like nursing or doctors and stuff like that, which is actually a sort of a learning thing. But other things like business and stuff like that, that's doesn't teach you any life skills.
That's well, unless you're a leader, I guess. We were talking about this in the host chat before, and I have to agree with Joe, our producer and the owner. He said we're a society of sheeple. And I've said this to you many times off air on Dell. I don't understand it. Why most people feel they need to follow someone. Why not be your own person, your own, you know, we're all capable of doing this. Don't get me wrong. There are certain times when you need to have some organization, I guess, if it's chaos. But the thing is, people are always looking to follow someone, but we don't need to be sheep. We all have brains, we all have talents and skills. And I'm not saying that we're fighting with one another if we're not following, but we are capable of directing what we need to do or what our thoughts are or where we want to go with things. But I still see that it's really rare. And that's what Joe was mentioning. And I have to agree with him.
No, you look at that movie, that Tom Hanks did their Castaway, right? Yeah. Thrown out of a plane and then he has to survive. And he was a management person and they had to figure out things on his own. But like the skills that he was learning during that movie, I learned those back when I was like 4 and 5 and 6 years old. Like just to do that. And I had that understanding because another part that was always found was really interesting and looking back in hindsight and stuff like that is that people like, oh, you're in the Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, Scouts and stuff like that. Oh, well, that's it was sort of frowned down upon. And same with trades and stuff like that. You took an auto shop. Oh, you're a stoner if you're taking auto shop and you're learning about welding and welding wouldn't help you if there's no power, but learning about tools and simple machines, like there was always looked down upon that you were less than the rest of the people that were doing academics, right? Yeah. And like you got to look at the thing there, everybody should have learned this 6 simple machines, right? You have the lever, the corkscrew, the incline plane, all things that these are 6 simple machines. If you learned all about those things and knew how to build them or manufacture them yourself, which you can, and it makes life easier when there is no power. And that's the whole thing about getting back out to nature and camping, where you don't have all that stuff. And you also figure out too, going out away from the city where there is no technology is about what you really need is important. Mm-hmm. Right? Like you figure, what do you need? What do you need that's important when you're out there?
Shelter, a blanket, clothing, water, hopefully some food, if not the ability to have the tools or whatever you need to hunt. A pot, I would say. Even with a compass, a lot of people don't realize, depending on where you live, that depending on what's below your feet, like I think, what is it, shale that's here that'll screw up your compass? It'll always point north no matter where you go, or even knowing
ironite, yeah, magnetite. Yeah.
And even if you know how to read a compass, I did want to add something because I think it's important, because Instant Karma, I just want to make sure I didn't miss Zach's comment. No, Instant Karma said this, and I have to agree with him. He said, but we still need educated engineers and scientists, though. Yes, we do. We do. We're not frowning on people that, any kind of job that people do. Not everybody's cut out to be somebody that's a skilled laborer or anything like that. But for example, my youngest would never go to college or anything with his autism, but the oldest kid I had, I said to him, don't just go to college or university for the sake of going. I said, if you're going to go, make sure you're going to come out with some kind of skill. Because yes, we do. There's a place for everything. And I agree with you definitely about that Instant Karma. But there are people that haven't specialized necessarily in engineering or science, but they've got that way of thinking, or they've got that kind of brain. Because if you think about it, everything on this planet was somehow thought up and invented. And somebody created it. Doesn't necessarily mean they were all well trained. I like to think it's not even like they were thinking outside the box. They were thinking like there wasn't any box at all. What do you think, Bill?
That's my saying there. Yeah, where you're looking at the box.
Yeah, but it's true. Well, what I was saying earlier that you've mentioned is that why you believe the powers that be are trying to get more and more people to move into the metropolitan areas and not in rural areas and outside the cities?
Right. Okay. So this goes into this part of this conspiracy that I do on my show and stuff like that. And this has been mentioned many, many times before, right?
Right.
So you herd the sheeple into an area. Then you put the technology is there that people are watching everybody and policing everybody. Now you have a control group that you can control them there. What people do out in rural areas and stuff like that, where they're self-sufficient, that don't need to go to Safeways and Walmart and stuff like that and live on their own. Now they're not feeding into the market part there, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why this whole huge push and this indoctrine of education has gone to push people into cities. So now they're dependent on the corporate structure. Right? The dollar and everything that's in there, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, I have cousins that live out in the rural area and stuff like that. They have their own farm. They barely even go to the store. They got chickens. Like, even my grandmother, back beforehand, they had their own chickens in town. Mm-hmm. And they get eggs in the morning time, and then they'd have raised some chicks, slaughter some chickens, there's some meat and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They did that and it was self-sufficient. They didn't need to depend on the supermarket. And that's how even small family-owned businesses, you had stuff that was there, and they were able to support themselves by selling off their overstock had.
Or bartering, which they're now starting to make illegal in a lot of countries, including our own.
It's illegal here and in North America, the barter system, because they can't tax barter.
Yeah,
that's right. And that's another part there about this whole inflation thing that's gone into, and because you can't see, everything has moved to this money system.
Yeah.
And it's always been around. Money system has been around, but the inflation is ridiculous. And taxation is ridiculous because taxation was only brought in because of the world wars, and that was there, and it was supposed
You
to be
said
just
it was supposed to be temporary, right? Like only for a year or two?
right. But the thing is, though, the inflation part has gone way up. Okay, so you figure, and I use this many times as an example. Okay, so you plant a field of potatoes, okay, and you probably need 50 people to plant that field of potatoes and then to harvest it in the fall time, right? To bring them all up and that, and you need hand tools and stuff like that. Now, with technology, you can just have a tractor go through there, boom, plants all the potatoes, and then in the fall time, pulls them up, and it can do 500 times more area than what you could do by hand and quicker, right? It might take those people a month to go and dig up all the potatoes in a football field.
Right.
Tractor, one morning, done, finished. Okay. But a potato back then only cost like about less than a penny. Now a potato costs you almost a dollar.
Right.
And but you have faster machinery and technology, which is supposed, technology is supposed to make things easier and cheaper, but it hasn't worked that way here. It's making things more expensive. And that's why our inflation goes up. And then the taxes, like we talked about this again there too, about before, it's just like here in Canada, a 66er of vodka, $70.
Yeah.
In the States, $12.
Yep.
There's a weird cycle of everything that's going on there. Like there's the taxation and everything. Like, geez, like, cigarettes didn't change in the price the cigarettes were, but now where they were $2 a pack, now they're $18 a pack.
Up here in Canada,
And the machinery and all the technology that was done to produce everything has improved quickly, and you need less people to do it, but all of a sudden the price goes way up because of corporate capitalism that has happened in here. And a lot of stuff that's happened in North America is actually coming more communistic than free market, because they outlawed a barter system, right? Because you can't tax bartering.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was just going to read, got a few more comments here. So let me go back enough. Shadow Designs. Oh, wait, higher up. We got quite a few comments here. Sorry, guys. Where are we going to go? Back to Shadow Designs. Hang on. Okay, Shadow Design says, hunting is important. There are so many people that don't know what to do with the animals they catch. Skin a rabbit, pluck a turkey, tanning deer hide. And, you know, people that hunted back in the day, especially... you know, First Nations, they used everything off the animal. Like nothing went to waste. They didn't hunt 20 of them. They just took what they needed. That was it. If you need to eat, you're not being greedy. Like, and it's not the same, but it was like the darn toilet paper. People going out and buying 100 packages of it so nobody else had anything. But I really had a lot of respect for First Nations. And there's other cultures that do it too with hunting, but they use everything off the animal. There's nothing goes to waste. Instant Karma said, I don't even like hunting anymore because I cleaned most of the deer grandma shot, so I view it as an annoying chore. LOL. Zachman then said, if I could, I'd move out to a rural area tomorrow. The downside is that my career field pushes me to be near the big cities, and I think that's the way it's set up, Zach, is exactly that way.
That's what I said, yeah. And said that way is that this pushed everything in towards a center. Right?
And most families have to have both parents working, right? You know, with the amount of the way things cost and with tax, with everything else, the system is geared that way, I believe. Shadow Design says, LOL, I clean my share of fish. Then Instant Karma said, okay, how about you do the fish? Oh, he's talking to Shadow Designs and I do the mammals. He can fish well. Then Shadow Designs says, my brother taught me how to snare a rabbit and how to skin it. And Instant Karma said, in Mexico, a big bottle of Absolute or similar brand name is $8. Agreed.
Wow.
And then Shao Design said, can we fire our government? Actually, that's a really good question you've asked, though. And you know why? Because none of them that are in power are Justin Castro, as we call him up in Canada. He's no, if you will, cleaner either. He's getting caught for all kinds of stuff. And I keep saying that I know it's impossible, but it would be a wonderful thing if we could all put our differences aside and actually unite as a people for, and really work on what we should be having. There's more of us than them. And I mentioned this guy a couple weeks ago on the show, but his name's Kevin Shipp, and he's from the US. He worked for the CIA for over 20 years. He was pretty high up. And he ended up leaving the CIA because of things he was seeing, and he speaks out against them now. And that's his number one thing he keeps saying, kept saying. It was a 3-hour presentation, and he said that the government works for us. We don't work for the government. And he was explaining about, even his organization, how much money they had with a budget, how much power they had. And they're not the only organization. There's a lot of people out there like that. A lot of people don't even want to open their eyes to the fact, and he talked about this as well, that Project Mockingbird is not gone. I believe he said it was 19, I want to say 76, I could be wrong, but it's around that time, it's in that area, that Project Mockingbird supposedly had been stopped. And most of you probably know that are listening, but people that don't, Project Mockingbird was that the media was controlled. What was put out in the media, they're owned by the same conglomerate, most of the major networks here. And we only were told what the media networks were told to present. But he said what he found out was that, yes, they say it's over, but what, and it's now on a voluntary basis what they report. But then he got into what constitutes voluntary versus the way it was before. There is no difference. They ended up getting forced. So people don't realize, a lot of people that listen to these type of shows or this network would realize that, but the majority, if you will, they believe that what they see on the news is that's what's really going on. That's the truth. Do you have anything to add to that, Dell? Because there's so much to be said about that. I don't know how to change people's minds. I don't think we can until they wake up themselves, but.
Well, that is true. There was that I saw that there over the past week is that the information that my mom was getting because she's watching main media news stuff and she's going, this is what it is. And she used to be director of nursing here in TBay. And I'm going, where are you getting these facts from? She goes, oh, it was on CBC. I'm going, do you understand that's a narrative? Like that's not actually true because you look at all the other stuff, it's not the same numbers. It's going, oh, that's the way the thinking is, right? That the news, like the news used to be, what did you say, bipartisan, used to just state stuff there, but now news channels here in Canada and the US have become politically run, right? Like CNN, worst channel ever to watch in the world. But because they want to lean a certain way and they have a talking narrative. And that's why, like, important channels like we have here on UPRN, where people go and find out facts. And I tell everybody, says, don't believe me, find out, research yourself, but don't just listen to one source of information because how do you know they're telling the truth? Do you think a little kid tells you, says, hey, did I eat that lollipop? And they go, no, I didn't. It was, the ghost guy over there, and you go, hey, well, let's figure it out. It's just lots of things. I think a lot of people have become lazy in getting information, and it's sad because that's the way things are, and that's the way they've been taught through school, right? They've been programmed, like I said there before. Child, before he goes to school, ask the questions why. You go to school, you're told why. You graduate from school. You don't ask any more questions because you've been told exactly what it is. And a very small percentage of people that even here on the network and other stuff, independent medias and stuff like that, actually going, no, we're going to question the narrative. Question everything. I tell this to everybody. Question. Find out stuff. Research it yourself. Just don't believe because one person told you this or because what? CNN, NBC, MSNBC are this major conglomerate that they're telling you the truth. Mm-hmm. They've been called out like that. That's why I like listen to Jimmy Dore. Super mm-hmm. good. And he questions both sides. He's not pro-Trump or against Trump yeah. or anything like that or Obama or that way. No, he's just, he questions everything. Like, look at, here's the facts that I found out about this. You're like, and that's great. Like, there's lots of stuff. Tinfoil hat, there was Sam Tripoli, like watching that there. He has lots of different people on there and stuff like that. And it's great. This is like, you're getting different information. Minty Press, the stuff like that, just independent, small little stations. And then you can find out that they actually, because they don't have any affiliation to a political party. And that's the big thing.
Well, I was going to say this, Kevin Chip, I mentioned the thing that I love too. He said the same thing. You don't have to believe me. I'm just presenting the information, the facts that I know with the receipts I say, or the proof that he provided. But he said, question everything. Do your own research. But the beautiful, wasn't a beautiful thing, but the way he presented it was that, you know, he made the distinction between the deep state and the shadow government. And I had always thought they were one and the same. They're not. No. But what he kept pointing out is he kept going back to the U.S. Constitution and how things were unconstitutional. And he was able to illustrate what was, what wasn't. But he kept saying, this is not a Democratic issue. This is not a Republican issue. This is not an independent issue.
It's a money issue.
Exactly what you've been saying all along. And I've heard it so many times from other people. Follow the money. It just takes a little bit of research. Once you go down that rabbit hole and you start looking, you start connecting the dots and you see it. And that's what he kept saying. This has nothing to do with politics. And he was even getting into the point where, you know, this was planned this way. Like, you know, the nation was divided 50-50. There's families that aren't speaking over politics, all kinds of things, because they want your head turned the other way. And then you don't see what the left hand is doing while the right is, or vice versa. And again, that's why I mentioned earlier, what a beautiful thing it could be to put our differences aside as a population, unite together, because there's a lot of things, regardless of what side somebody may believe that they're on, we pretty well are in agreement what we all want, whether or not, like, if, you know, even people that don't realize, like George Soros or anything else, like who's behind the puppet master, if you will, pulling the strings. And again, the best way I truly believe it, and you, I said, you've said it first, and then I've heard it many other times, is start looking into where all the money is made. Where is it being spent? Where is it? What's it being funneled into? And I don't know if you have anything else to add to that, Del, but I think it's so important. And do your own research.
Yeah. Well, this is, I think I talked about this there before, is that it's when you move from small town government up to federal government, right? Small town government, like mm-hmm. counties, municipalities and stuff like that, they're more interested in the people that are around there because it affects them, right? So yeah. Say you're in like South Gillies and or something like that, and you have 100 residents. You want to go and make sure your roads are okay, your water's okay, and you got electricity going there. Then you move up into city politics and you're worried about the city. When you get up into going up into federal, state, federal, province, stuff like that, then it's just all rich people that are just worried about making dollars for their own pocket, and they're making rules to make sure that they're going to be well taken care of, right? That we've had lots of things that happen here in Ontario, anyways, with premiers in here. We had the Airbus scandal. We got even Justin Trudeau with his scandals with SNC-Lavalin and the We Foundation, friends paying money and then giving money back to his family. Like, how does Margaret Trudeau get $237,000 for a speaking engagement that was paid by Canadian taxpayer money? And his brother, that is a nobody, get paid $36,000. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, you see how it goes. right? They're all about getting money into their own. So as the level of power goes up, it goes less about the people and goes more about me and my money. How can I get money out of that, right? And it happens a lot of places there, and that's why it's so important to research the person. Just don't, because I'll say this way, is that when I was growing up, a lot of I was told, like here in Canada, you had the NDP, the New Democratic Party, you had the PCs and the Liberals, then you had Independent Green Party and stuff like that, and then the Bloc Québécois, right? And usually you voted for what your family believed in, right? Mm-hmm. And that, so if you were a blue collar worker, you voted this way. If you were management, you voted this way. If you were a business owner, you voted that way. But they never did anything good. The parties weren't doing anything good for you, because that's federal and provincial, right? They're not looking out for your town. Because you even look at here in Ontario, we're in Thunder Bay, we're Northern Ontario. Southern Ontario has a totally different stuff that's going on than we do. And then throughout Canada, Quebec reaped the benefits for how many years? Like that's almost a different country in a way. Then they wanted to separate after they took all of Canada's taxpayer money for tens of hundreds of years or whatever, for decades, right? It's just crazy. But the people that are in power, they don't care about you, right? Small municipalities, like I was saying, if you went back down to like the municipality or county, they're worried about their area, right, and how that's going to be. But when you get bigger, they don't care about that. They care about themselves. And it's all about money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sorry I ranted so long. Sorry.
No, I don't care. Go ahead. I had a point there and I forgot it was important. I was trying to remember it anyways, what I was going to say when you were saying that. But yeah, we're definitely seeing this, that it had something to do with provincial and government. I was going to add, and I completely lost my thought while you were talking. It'll come back to me. But that's what we're seeing. And depending on where you live too, even over in Europe, like we don't hear a lot of the stuff that happens over there that's going on. Even the fact that, and I brought these again, like I said, this Kevin Shipp I brought up, I really am impressed with this channel on YouTube. It's called Anonymous 777. And I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that it was a Dutch filmmaker, documentarian, who didn't believe in any of this stuff. And she starts it off, it's almost a 3-hour presentation. It's a documentary. And the first, she does it in chapters. And the first chapter, she said, things that make you go, And she started mentioning them. And then she got into some pretty deep, dark stuff. She even talked about why she wasn't going to get specific. She just gave people terms to look up. But if you start going down again that rabbit hole and you see some of the stuff that is really going on behind the scenes in the world that we don't hear about, it'll blow a lot of people's minds if you've never heard about it. Things like the red shoes, things like adrenochrome, all these other things. She had pictures of, I guess there was a guy that was a reporter from Amsterdam that was visiting in the UK. And he happened to be taking pictures of Buckingham Palace. And there was a teenage boy, looked like probably between 15 and 17, completely naked, climbing out of the walls of Buckingham Palace, like through a window. He ended up falling. I don't know if he passed away or not. But what was a naked teenage boy doing, climbing out with a bed sheet out of the window? And then he took the pictures and released them. Buckingham Palace denied it. Their police forces over there denied it. Well, you've got the pictures to prove it. Like, there's so much. That's what I was going to say. Sorry, I just remembered. With Kevin Shipp, he was saying the higher you go and the least amount of accountability that you have, the more probability there will be that there's a lot of crooked stuff going on, because you have nobody to answer to. There's money involved with this. And, you know, he wasn't trying to be cynical, but I had to agree with him. It's kind of human nature. Not everybody's going to do it, but if you knew that what you were doing, that you were never going to have any repercussions for it, you were never going to have to answer for it, and you had a lot of money coming in, it's human nature, right?
Yeah, it is. Well, that's the whole thing that's really weird about politics, right? Mm-hmm. The further you go up, you need money to buy yourself into that, so you need all this support of money, right? Mm-hmm. Money, 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 and they're all in there, so you become like a business person in a way, yeah. Right? So you get more money and stuff like that. That's why people are sort of upset about Trump, because Trump didn't ask for any support from other outside. He just paid his own way in, mm-hmm. pretty much out of there, not like what Hillary Clinton had done and taken all this money in from all these lobbyists and stuff like that to pay for her campaign, right? So. Mm-hmm. That's the weird thing, is that you can't go in as you move up the scale in politics to controlling things. You need more support and more money, right? Mm-hmm. It's this whole money thing, right? And it's just weird how the way that politics has sort of worked and stuff like that. Whereas like in the small scale, you can just put your name on the ballot, mm-hmm. pay your whatever your buy-in fee, still money. But a little small scale, as you go up and take more control, you have to pay more and get more people to give you more money. Like if you ever look at what presidential campaign to run, how many millions and millions and millions of dollars that are paid and all this stuff like that. And all this money could be used to building infrastructure in the country. You look at what is the in the U.S. what is the budget that we know about? 77% of the budget is all for military. Mm-hmm. It's like 2% for schools, 2% for healthcare, 2% for this. Very little, but a big huge is there. And then there's the black budget too, right? That you don't even get to find out what that is. Mm-hmm. Even in Canada, there's so many stuff that's being found out about. What the government and what the prime minister is spending money on. Like, this is the weirdest question. I brought this up yesterday at camp there. It says, okay, the prime minister's wife is in Italy. She's infected with COVID-19. They go out to Muskoka. He's not infected. The kids are infected, but they all quarantine themselves in there with an infected person. This is the leader of the country, mm-hmm. right? Why would he go in with an infected wife?
Weekend. He also went on an Easter weekend. We all had to stay home. And there's pictures of him out skiing, never mind all the, he had all his immediate family he went and had dinner with. And on top of that, he had his whole security detail at the cost of the taxpayers. But we right. weren't allowed to do it. He did it, though.
Okay, so this is the thing. This is the question, right? And a lot of people don't catch this. They don't see this as being weird. You have the prime minister's wife found out infected with this COVID-19. The prime minister wasn't. He's the leader of the country, and his kids are not infected. She comes home with a disease, and they lock themselves up in the Muskokas, and then he does all his reports up from there. Really weird. Like, why would you put the leader of the country with an infected person? Oh, well, it's his wife. Well, no, she could have been somewhere else quarantined, but no, you stuck them all in together up at a summer cottage. And then the premier of Ontario goes, hey, nobody can go to their summer cottages and get away from the city. You all have to be in the city. Don't leave. Lots of weird, funny stuff there that's going on. And it's, I don't know if, I have words that I would say and actions that would be done. Like these people need to be kicked out of office and removed from everything, because you know what? They're not in the best interest of the population. They're in the interest for their own personal gain.
Mm-hmm. There is. And like I said, that's why I mentioned that this guy from ex-CIA had said that, you know, they want to stay in power too, because, and it's been this way for many, 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 many years. And like I said, none of us really even know about it. And again, even if you get news, say from over in the UK, you know, especially this has been really, really just blowing my mind and disgusting me. The amount of people that were associated with the royal family, with all their politics and the human trafficking and pedophilia. And again, there were so many people, and it was proven. And we're seeing this all over the world. Like, what the heck is going on here? Like, I just don't understand this, why there's so many people doing this to children. And again, we're hearing about it now, but it's been going on for years. And why? Like, I don't understand why this has become so prevalent. Like, has it always been this prevalent? Is just starting to come out in the open, or like, what's going on here? Like, because this is people.
No, I think a big thing there now is because, well, like I mentioned this before, and like the internet and the ultranet or whatever you want to call it, there at the beginning was never supposed to be for public use. It was supposed to be between military, then it was supposed to be between universities to transfer knowledge. Then it became a thing where it became the World Wide Web and it went out. Mm-hmm. Okay, now the flow of information, a lot of it is garbage and some of it is good. You have to, that's why I say research everything. You got to check it out and double check and check things out. But now the government, for the countries that were doing all this nefarious stuff, is people can go and talk about it, and it goes comes out into a media forum where people can do that, like Twitter, Instagram. Like, look at that! Look how fast things go viral. That's that word, viral. Boom! Something's like, hey, look at this! Boom! Like, I just even went on there on YouTube just now, and $1 million upgrades to Justin Trudeau's luxury cottage in the Muskokas. Taxpayer money. Like, lots of things. Him with the Wee Charity scandal. That's buddies of his, right? And paying back into his own family. So takes taxpayer money, pays it to a charity, and then the charity gives it back to his family. So they get the money. So they're just taking, like, it's the cycling. But this stuff is all being exposed now.
It's money laundering. Well, we've got some interesting comments here that I'll add to this. Like Zach Mann said, those that believe that the MSM is the sole source of truth are becoming a minority. Many won't admit it, but most people don't trust the establishment media. You know what, Zach? I can see where you're coming from with that, but I think it depends who you're speaking to, because a lot of old school people that especially believe and have always followed the news. Like, I was talking about this with somebody. You may be too young to remember this person, but Walter Cronkite. He was around when we were little, Del and I, on US News. Like, everybody tuned in to watch him, whatever he had to say. He was one of the major news anchors that was reporting the news. And people don't realize, like I said, maybe in your age group, they're starting to realize, but in our age group and beyond, it doesn't matter who you talk to. It's not just Canadian. It's not just Americans. We're talking, you know, talking to other people from different parts of the world. They truly believe that the news is the sole source of information. Like, and I do share some articles. I usually share them with two people I know for fact is you, Zach, and Shadow Designs. I'll send them, but I've really whittled that list down. Like, you know, people that were open to this kind of thing discussing it. For example, one of the people said to me, well, yes, I know about this and I know about that, but I really truly believe that basically Bill Gates is a savior. Look at all the amazing things he's done in Africa. Well, who are you listening to that you heard this about Africa? If you heard it from mainstream, yeah, he's like an earth angel, but you start doing your homework. I mean, first of all, he has no medical training. He should not be that involved with vaccines. Never mind the fact that they got caught. They were sterilizing females by giving them an anti-beta HCG concoction. So yes, women could get pregnant, but it fooled the body as part of this vaccine that when a woman's pregnant, she produces human gonadotrophic something or another, but it's the hormone that women secrete when they're first pregnant, especially. That's how you get a positive on a pregnancy test. So what would happen, this vaccine made the human body believe that this was a foreign agent that was in your body, so they would miscarry. They got caught. This was proven. I believe it's still going on. Go ahead, Dal.
You know, that's the thing there, that this whole thing with eugenics, right? He was using Africa as a test
yeah,
area.
But what I'm saying is that, again, here's somebody who's listening, you know, seemed to be pretty open-minded, yet was going on and on about what a savior Bill Gates is, of all the great things he's done in Africa. Well, who are you listening to your news source? If you're listening to the major networks and you're believing they're telling you the truth, instead of digging a little further, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, you can't just pick and choose. Like, again, do your own homework, see what resonates with you. But again, to me, that's somebody that's watching mainstream media and believing what they're saying, because you're not going to hear that from an independent news source. It was what my point was. There's a few more comments here I wanted to read too. Hang on, I gotta go back a bit. So Instant Karma said, Zach, I wish I could say the same. Most of the people I see eat that crap up and want more. Exactly, Instant Karma. That's what we're seeing as well. Shadow Design says that Southern Ontario is nothing but corporate. And again, Instant Karma said, there's an old parable that goes something like, a land with 30 religions will live in peace. One with only two will not. Same thing with politics here in the U.S. He thought we're screwed, he says. And then Shadow Design said Doug Ford did the same thing. And for those of you, you may remember, Doug Ford had a brother by the name of Rob Ford. He ended up on Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, everything else, because he was a crack addict. Yeah, crack addict. He was doing that while he was in office. And then the reason why I mention this is because Instant Karma had said, what is it with mayors and crack? He said, we had Marion Barry. Well, we had Rob Ford. And like, I mean, he went on the talk show circuit to talk about it. He's no longer alive. I think he had cancer he came down with and passed away. But Doug Ford and him almost look like twins. So now we've got Doug Ford in power instead of Rob Ford. Shadow Designs asked this. She goes, and Margaret Trudeau, is she collecting a wage now? What did you
probably
think? Yeah,
she was 27 years in office, I believe, or was that Trudeau? Trudeau.
No, I'm talking about Pierre was, but Margaret Trudeau is his ex-wife.
Oh, so definitely.
Yeah, she was asking you. She's getting
Margaret Thatcher.
I knew you were. Yeah. Then Shadow Design says, I'm going to say something you may disagree with, but the fact that they will do this. I don't have my glasses on. It's partially our fault, she says. We know about it, yet we sit back and just talk about it. We need action. No, I'm not going to disagree with you, Shadow Designs. I'm going to agree with you. But the issue is everybody's sitting back and saying somebody needs to do something. But who's somebody? But the other thing that I'm seeing is the brave people.
They are them.
Yes, but what I was just going to add, the people that say we need somebody to do something, you will see one or two brave individuals that step up, and then you see that in the news, say, for example, they committed suicide, yet they were found drowned in a pond with execution style, two bullets to the back of their head, and they're hogtied. How did you commit suicide? So this is what's happening to a lot of people, whistleblowers, people that are coming out, speaking the truth. And they're being silenced every time. We're seeing it on social media. We're seeing it everywhere. They do not want people speaking out. I just want to make sure I got all the comments. And then Shadow Design says, I may be talking out of turn, but it's so frustrating that... JT is still sitting there. No, I agree with you. The last comment she wrote was, Gates was personally administering medication. Big no, because he has no medical license. I'll ask Dell in a second what his thoughts are, but I can't disagree with you. But I don't, that's why I keep saying, if we could put our differences aside and unite as a group, I can't see it happening. But when one person stands out, I know we've been seeing this, and it's in all different areas. But if it's something, if you want to call it whoever is the puppet master pulling the strings, doesn't want that out in main media or in the general public, this is what's happening. It was even happening with homeopathics and naturopathic doctors. One person that used to work in the news, I think it's called Health Net News, and her name's Erin Elizabeth. She hasn't quite got the Alex Jones treatment yet, but she's been kicked off of a lot of social media and stuff because she covers stories like this. She was the first one that broke this story and put the pieces together. And I believe it's well over 125 naturopathic and homeopathic doctors that, again, supposedly committed suicide, just how I was talking about, because they're coming up with things other than big pharma, big medications. They're coming up with natural stuff that they're finding is working. So I don't know what the solution is, but Del, I'd love to hear your thoughts. What did you think of what Shadow Designs had to say?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. When you get into alternative medicine that's mm-hmm. away from big pharma, now you're looking at, because it's all money based, right? You look about what's happening even with food, right? Monsanto, what they were doing and stuff like that, and how that affects crops and this whole thing about independent and growing your own food, right? A lot of mm-hmm. I think there was a part that was done there that you couldn't grow gardens in your yard because it was illegal, and that happened here in, I think, in Ontario in a couple of areas and stuff
in
like
some
that.
Some of the states, they weren't allowed to buy. Remember when COVID first came out, we watched it. They weren't allowed to buy seeds.
Yeah, that was in Michigan, yeah.
Yeah, equipment, anything like that. And this is the thing that I find so frightening is, and I've been hearing, again, I have no proof of this, so I can just share what I've been hearing from various different sources, that this part was just a test. It's what's going to be coming up in the fall, especially before the election. And it was a test to see what would people do. And everybody, even
and
though
what they would, and what they would allow to happen, that was the thing, right?
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
The whole push. Mm-hmm.
No, but that's my point, that everybody happy about this? Absolutely not. But because of the misinformation, the fear that's out there, people are just standing by and going, okay, yeah, we can do that. Yeah, we can do that. And that's what I'm saying. I don't know what the solution is, but I know that there's more of us than there is. And I got to agree that ideally government is there to work for the people, not the people agree with whatever the government dictates. And we're right. And that's kind of the mentality we're in. And again, unless we can all unite and put our differences aside and stand up and say, no, we're not doing this. We're not taking this.
Right.
I don't know what the answer is.
Well, this is the part there that this is where it gets really tricky, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, you see what happened there when the COVID shut down and George Floyd, and you had George Soros funded BLM and Antifa go mm-hmm. in and try and push a narrative, okay? Mm-hmm. And it was totally different than what everybody else wanted. But then you have the sheep follow that and say, this is a good thing. And why would you do something, right? Do you go and pee in your own home in the corner? Do you go and spray paint your old house? But this is what these terrorist groups did. They went and burned cities, burned independent owners places, and a lot of this stuff there too could have been, and there's speculation on this, is that a lot of stuff was done by black ops, CIA run things there that ended up caused the problems that were burning down things, because mm-hmm. we saw a couple of videos there where they caught somebody in police riot gear going there to go and start a fire at independent business there. And so you have to wonder about what is this whole narrative going on. If anybody wants to look at, I think I did a show back in January or in December mm-hmm. about the OSF and about what that stuff does and what it is. It's to break down democracies, to put it into basically like communist country in a way where things are run, right? To push things so that the one person makes a lot of money and follow the money. It's all about the money, right? Mm-hmm. I think that this whole sliding scale about how things are being dictated. Like, if you look at 1970, 1980, 1990s, and stuff like that, here in Canada, of what you had to pay for and how much things cost. And like, you didn't have to pay for a fishing license. You didn't have to have a boating license. You didn't have to have a license for having a fire on your own property. You didn't have to pay all these things and all these huge taxes. And there's all said, well, this is to go and maintain the population of animal species and trees in the world. It says, yeah, but you should be allowed to do what you do on your own property in respect to being that it's not harming somebody else or destroying something and harming the environment. Well, and but you don't need all the, everything's gotten so more much more regulated and more laws in there. And when you have certain groups that are demanding things that are unreasonable, because BLM and Antifa are unreasonable groups. That's like, who spray paints your own city? Like, you don't do that and have other people come in from someplace else and help burn it down for you. That's just retarded. That's dumb thinking. Like, you even look at what's going on in Toronto. You have these squatter groups that are going into public parks and, you have the mayors going, hey, well, they can do whatever. But then you have these rules with COVID-19 that you have to wear a mask to go into stops. Mom and pop stores all closing down. But Walmart and Dominion Safeways, and they're all doing well because they stay open because they're larger corporate things. It's a weird turn of a cycle that's happened here this year. And they said 2020 was going to be a year of change. And we're stuck in this year of change right now in this flux of indecision and unfairness coming from people that live up in the high tower and demanding what's going on for the people are that build the city, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I did want to add this because Shaw Designs had an interesting comment here. She said that now we have a medical officer, isn't it, Tree Tam, I think, speaking up, saying mass testing is not going to work. And she said she sent me that video. Sorry, hon, you may not have been here. We were out at camp all weekend and there's no internet. And I think you did send me something, but I was just getting ready for the host chat. And she said, how long before the government fires her? I don't know. I'll have to see your video because I never understood why they had her speaking in the first place or even in the US with Dr. Anthony Fauci. I mean, he's contradicted himself so many times. Never mind, he's been talking about that a pandemic was coming, I believe, all the way back to 2017. Mark his words, there was one coming. And then just look up Agenda, what is it, 201? Is that what it was called? No, Event 201. In October,
agenda,
thank you, in 2019. So that was in October. And if you watch those videos that are up on YouTube, and it was put on by the Bill Gates Foundation, John Hopkins University, which has got a lot of funding from the Gates Foundation, World Health Organization, CDC were there. They've got funding from Bill Gates. And then there were other chief medical officers, if you will, from some of the biggest, more civilized countries. And they just miraculously chose what would happen if we had in the mock scenario, a coronavirus pandemic. It skipped the animal population, but I think they hypothesized that this would have come from a pig. And then if you listen to how they're talking in this mock pandemic, you would swear that they had been filming it during this. Everything they talked about or touched on in this happened so far. I'm sorry, but that's not a coincidence.
No, especially when it was like 3 months beforehand and then the people that are going to be benefiting from it monetarily are involved in it all. And the stuff that happened, how the virus went out, and the people that were doing the mock Agenda 201, and financially.
Different things. I just want to add that, Del. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off because we are just about running out of time, but I did want to add this because we are talking about two different things. The thing I was talking about was called Event 201, October 2019, because I do want to add these two comments really quickly. Zachman said that happens here too. Government agencies like the FDA can make regulations that become law without passing them through Congress. Yeah, same thing here. He says the cigar industry is one that's affected by these bogus regulations, and Shadow Designs added Agenda 21. Yeah, it's actually Agenda 2020 and there's Agenda 2030 that they're talking about. This, a lot of this stuff was planned for Agenda 2020 or Agenda 20. Yeah, it's Agenda 2020. And then the other thing that we were talking about, it was called Event 201. Two different things, but they kind of feed into each other. Would you agree?
Yes, and I did a show on this, I think 2 months ago, about Agenda 2030 and what they need to have done by this time. And a lot of stuff in these new regulations that have been passed are following in line with this shadow government sort of thing, in a way, if you would say, or corporate people, or the people that are behind the scenes to put countries in the way they are right now. And it's weird that all these things are going through. They just look what Justin Castro did there, right? With he just passed a law without even going through parliament. And to remove a whole bunch of firearms to disarm the country.
And we believe, we, like I said, guys, we are out of time, but hopefully we maybe can continue this discussion tomorrow night. But I do want to agree with you about that, because you and I have talked about this off the air, that we almost believe it was kind of people lost their lives. Absolutely. And it was tragic. But we also believe it may have been, if you will, a false flag that was set up to set this agenda up to stop the exactly what you're talking about, the firearms. I did want to add really quickly before I give you a chance to tell people where to find you, Del. Shadow Designs put a really good comment here, not to mention CEOs resigning recently, especially since 2000.
I talked to you about that there, about all the ones that just all resigned their jobs. There, I think there was about 121 of them, all from like October to January.
Yeah, I know she said from 2017, but there was a massive amount, exactly what you're talking about. I hate to do this, guys, but we got to get off the air here so that the other show can come on. But we'll be back tomorrow night. My partner in crime and bestie, Seraphine Hurley, and I will be back with Tripping the Void tomorrow night. Her tooth is still bothering you. For those of you may not have heard, we were doing her other show, Infinite Inquisition, last Monday. She wasn't doing anything, and it looks like a laser cut right up to her tooth. So she's having a lot of pain. Either way, though, I'm hoping we can continue this discussion tomorrow night, because we've left off on some really good points here. So, Del, do you want to tell them where they can find you?
Well, yeah, usually I'm on Monday nights at 9 to 10 Eastern Time, or 8 to 9 Central Standard Time. The delicious recipe right here on UPRN Radio 107.7 FM, New Orleans.
I'm glad you said that, because I forgot to add that, and I'm sorry about that, guys. I also want to let you guys know, if you ever want to get a hold of me, say you want to book a psychic mediumship reading. I put open lines if we wanted any messages from Spirit, but I knew we were going to get into a really good discussion like this tonight. But you can find me on facebook.com/theangelrock. I also have two groups on Facebook, Paranormal University, for all things paranormal. And we're well over 1,000 people in that group from all over the world. Some really interesting people. Second group is the Angel Rocker Tribe. I believe we're just almost at 900 there. And we talk about all things within the esoteric, spirituality type things, law of attraction, positivity, all kinds of things like that. So I'd love to have you join either one of them or both of them. We'd love to have you there. It's a great group of people. And again, like I said, we will be back tomorrow night with Tripping the Void. Hopefully my PIC, Seraphine, will be here. If not, maybe I'll have to talk Dell into this and we'll finish our discussion that we were just getting into some really, really salient points tonight. So thank you to everybody in the chat for joining us tonight. I want to wish you all a wonderful morning, evening, or afternoon, wherever you may be. And we will see you same time tomorrow night at 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Central Standard Time. And Del, thanks so much for being here.
No problem.
We'll see you tomorrow night. Have a wonderful rest of, like I said, your evening or wherever you may be when you're listening to this.